Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'ani Kareem states, in ahsantum ahsantum li anfusikum wa in asatum. Allah ta'ala says that if you persevere in doing good, if you do good deeds, good actions, then you will but be doing good to yourselves, for yourselves. It's not going to benefit anyone else. The good deeds a person does, they give a lot of benefit to that person himself or herself who is implementing those deeds. Any good deed, so-called small deed, it doesn't go to waste. It is such an azim and great action, a good deed, that from this world until the hereafter, the akhirah, it's benefit upon benefit. In this world there's benefit, and inshallah in the hereafter there's benefit. But it should be a good deed. Allah Ta'ala should have defined it as good. Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should have stated it's a good deed. From this verse we realize that a person should not delay or think or doubt when doing a good deed. Shouldn't hesitate or stop. Rather, a person should have a bit of determination, a bit of courage, should put himself forward and do the good action. Because Allah, our Khaliq and our Malik, our Creator and Owner, is telling us the value of a good deed. Allah Ta'ala. And there are many, many types of deeds that we can do. So many. Allah Ta'ala says that I've made you like a machine, that you can churn out the good deeds. And there aren't just a few different options. There are many, many options that we can select. So we should extend our hand and do good actions. Some deeds are fard, compulsory, some are mustahab, desirable, some are sunnah, some are very necessary, essential, different forms. But Allah Ta'ala hasn't said that if it's mustahab, leave it. No, yeah, the least you could say rank or status is mustahab. And this doesn't define, it's not defined as leave it. Allah says, yes, if you practice this, you will most definitely get benefit. We say, oh, no, no, it's not necessarily, it's nafal, it's voluntary, it's sunnah, why practice on this? An ajeeb and weird style of negligence and non-appreciation that has crept into our lives, that we start to weigh the deeds. Shall I do this deed? Is it really important? I tell you, if there's a plate of sweets in front of you, will you think, oh, shall I eat these? Shall I leave them? No, this is also sweet. This is also sweet. Oh, let's try and taste this one. Oh, let's try this one out. Oh, let's test this one out. We say that, don't we? So Allah's given us so many deeds, so many deeds. It's amazing. There's no limit. And the ajr, reward, if we look at reward, then in the akhirah we'll say, oh Allah, this much reward you've given for these deeds, that these palaces and servants and workers, you're giving for that good deed that you made me do. That was just a chance. By chance I stumbled upon that, Allah. So imagine those deeds that we implement in this life with regards to deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said himself, that in the world you can consume the fruits of paradise. Tell me those good deeds. The rewards of those deeds, Allah says, in the world, in the dunya, this is such a good deed that you will get the reward in the hereafter. But that's secondary. I won't make you lose out in this world. Rather, the reward will start in this world for that good deed you've done. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. This is a big targheeb, a big, big encouragement Allah Ta'ala has given for this amal, this action of the dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah, whether it's Ramadan, the nights of Ramadan, the days of Ramadan, the moments of Ramadan, Asr to Maghrib, the time. And a man wastes time going here and there listening to speeches, going and wandering around and sitting with people as a majlis of dhikr going on, and he leaves from the back and he doesn't come. There's no bigger amal than this, my brothers. No greater deed than this. And spiritually, if we look spiritually, that your shaykh is present with you physically, your sohbat of your shaykh, the company of your shaykh, and you're doing that amal, that is the deed that will take you close to Allah. And you can only get that amal from the shaykh, from the teacher, from this fountain. Yes, but can a person use his aql and say, oh, I'll leave the gathering, the majlis? Think about it. Something to think about. So a person, how can he be big-headed and say that it's me and I don't need to attend this gathering? On which scale have we weighed this gathering, this majlis, and this concept and the necessity of the company of the sheikh? How will we answer to Allah on the Day of Judgment on small thoughts and excuses that such great a majlis, an opportunity, and the ocean of thawab that we waste in the company of this majlis and the teacher? In Ramadan we are like this. Look, 4 or 5 days later after today, will this majlis be here? Then we'll sit here again, looking at each other, we'll have a wash and come and say, oh, I've come. Where have those majlis in Ramadan between Asr and Maghrib? Will we get those again? Will they come back again? Can we think about it? No. But yes, if a person's got a genuine excuse, then it's a ni'mah of Allah. For example, somebody by chance is ill, he cannot come, he is ill and he's regretting in his heart, he's feeling regret that, oh, I was going regularly to that majlis and I would go and sit down and I was thinking about it. Then Allah is merciful. Allah will say straight away that this person, give him the same reward as he was getting in that majlis. He's getting this, he will get the same reward. The permissible excuse, the genuine excuse, Allah Ta'ala likes it himself, that this is, there's an excuse here and he's ill or he's unwell. At this moment in time, for the salik, the traveler, for a murid, there cannot be any greater mahal and environment. I don't think you can get anywhere from anywhere else. If he is a honest and sincere murid, that the rahmah, the mercies in Ramadan, that they come from the sheikh and the fadail and the virtues and the mercies, he cannot get this from anywhere else, not from any speech, not from any voluntary ibadah, nafil ibadah, from nowhere. So I don't know what rahmah Allah Ta'ala may allow to descend into the heart of the shaykh, and then the splashes of that rahmah will fall onto the murids, onto the students. Because the heart and the chest of the shaykh is the fountain of Allah Ta'ala's anwar, of Allah Ta'ala's benefits, and they are distributed to the students. So if the shaykh sits in the gathering, and if he sits that the islah and the rectification gives to the students, can they go with loss? Not only those who are foolish, who don't want any benefit, they could stay there 1,000 years, 10,000 years, but you cannot get the you cannot compensate for the loss of this gathering. If we miss it, we should have shukr, we should be grateful, we should say subhanallah that Allah Ta'ala has given us this gathering, the big fadl of Allah. So if we don't understand what I'm saying, we call this fadl, the grace of Allah, mercy of Allah, which drags people towards good. So Allah says, "In ahsantum, ahsantum li anfusikum." That are we doing this for me, or are you doing it for yourselves? Is there any loss or gain if somebody comes or doesn't come, if somebody sitting at home or sitting and looking left and right, etc.? So we think that we, oh, I'm standing in front of Allah and it's me, you should get the words, that whatever I desire, will do whatever I want and I'll get however I want. Why should I bow? Why should I attend? Why do I need to be this? I'm the best here. It's not me and you and my thoughts and my beliefs and my opinions. This is not what runs here in this minute. So even bad deeds, Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِنْ أَسَأْتُمْ فَلَهَا, that if you do bad, if you do evil, it will be done to yourselves. You will be doing it to harm yourselves. So sin is not a insignificant thing, my friends. It's a big conclusion, a consequence. Just like a good deed, a small good deed. So a small sin, a so-called small sin, nor is there a small good deed or a small sin. These are words that we've put on there. These go in parallel. Any person who has in his mind a concept, oh, this is a small sin, this ain't going to harm me, then he's gone. Then he's going to lose out. Person's going to lose out. That person is free. He's free. There is no concept of small sin, because a small good deed, what does that mean? It cannot be something that does not give you Jannah in paradise and doesn't say salam to you in paradise. That, ah, I'm here, you did me, you practiced me. So in the same way, a sin, which we say is a small sin, is not, in no way will it not have a consequence. They'll say, I've taken you to Jahannam, hellfire. Yes? So this is the direction of sin. When a person sins, then he has embarked on that journey, and that vehicle which will take that person to hellfire. It is going to take that person to hellfire. Or if your car's going somewhere, if the car is going somewhere, or a coach, or a car and you sit in that vehicle, will it take you to the destination or will it come off track and go somewhere else? I'll give you a question. If it says on the front, I'm going to this destination, then that vehicle will take you there. So you sit with confidence, you look at the coach or a car, always going Bolton, bus, you buy the ticket and you sit on that vehicle and then you don't see where is it going, is it turning left, right, and it takes you to that destination. So the person who has embarked on a sin and thinks I'm going to do these sins, then he's sitting in that car, that vehicle, and it will take that person straight to Jahannam. Not that, oh, I'm in a smaller car or a bigger car or on a cycle, but you've sat on that form of transportation and it will deliver you to Jahannam, to hell. In every way, in all circumstances, it will take that person to that destination. So sin, the action of sin, is a very dangerous thing indeed. It's a very real threat and it's a danger. And it will have that consequence. And we need to save ourselves from sin. So this is one point. That just we need to save ourselves and protect ourselves. Because with sin, we cannot succeed. Ever. Ever. Doesn't matter what a person's doing on the other side of the net as good deeds. But we cannot use that as an excuse. Oh, sin. Oh, sin is still sin. Even if I'm doing all of the good deeds under the sun, the good deeds will help us. Yeah? But the sin, it will take us off track. It will take us to the M6 or to the M1 and it will take us to another city. Because good deed is good deed and a sin is a sin. And that will also take us to the destination that it needs to. And this is the fast train of sin. Why? Allah Ta'ala has given a fast track that quickly this person was sinful, throw him into hellfire and he will be burnt. He's a mu'min, he recited La ilaha illallah and then he will be sent to Jannah, paradise. So this is a very big point that we need to understand. A person, a human being, should do dua to Allah and pray to Allah that Allah save me from the wretchedness of sin and the adab of sins. Listen carefully. We think, oh, I've sinned, so I'll see what happens. I'll go to Jahannam. We'll see about it thereafter. That person doesn't have a aqeedah proper that there's paradise in Jahannam. I don't know about the rest of him. Will he be successful or forgiven? It looks like he doesn't have an iman. He doesn't have belief that there is Jahannam and there's Jannah. The person who has this iman that there is Jahannam and there is Jannah, tell me, will that person think, that's okay, we'll see afterwards what happens when we get to Jahannam, then we'll do tawbah. Let me carry on what I'm doing here in the world, whatever I feel like doing. Let me just do what I want to do and we'll see afterwards what happens. The dunya today is full of this thought and this opinion. And we are all sitting in this vehicle. Oh, we'll see what happens afterwards. But listen carefully to one point. Listen carefully. That sin is such an action that just like a good deed will give a consequence and you'll get the result of it in this world. Yes? Remember this point? That a good deed will become apparent in this world, the consequence. And the same way the punishment of a sin will start in this world. Don't think it will be left for just the hereafter. The person who is sinning, the consequence of that sin, the adab, the punishment will come in this world, whether it's small, big, medium, whatever size or scale of it. A sin is a sin. And that's the name. He has sinned. He has disobeyed. And that has started. He is in azab in this dunya. He is in the punishment in this dunya. These are the words of the Quran and the Hadith I'm communicating to you that I've learned from the great pious predecessors. It's not my habit. I sit down and I start telling you, Hafidh Asqalani said this and this Shaykh said this and in this Hadith is this narrated by this Sahabi. Just keep on listening to me. Listen to me that whatever he's telling us, he's not an alim and definitely he's going to speak something mustanid, which is portrayed to us via the pious generations. It's not necessary for me to give you the narrator's name or the reference. That's just a style of a person to show his knowledge and he's got knowledge. If it's necessary, then I'll give you the reference. But I don't have to give you the reference all the time. These are all from authentic references, inshallah. What we discuss in this majlis. I sat at the feet of a great sheikh. Remember this point. A great sheikh. And that wind is still blowing from that time till now. So, where does that adab of sin start? It starts in this dunya. That person's in adab. He's embroiled in punishment. Oh, he's got a big shop. He's got businesses. He's got big cars. And he's got a lot of children. His children are happy. They're getting married. And he's making houses. He's got one house, two houses. And he's got three. He's got four. Four. And Hazrat saying that this person, he's got adab. But yes, the adab does start in this world. Allah Ta'ala says that the nature of this adab is ajib. Unique. The nature, the form of this adab. You understand the form, the nature, the condition? Yes? Those people who don't understand Urdu clearly, then go and sit in the where the English is translation. If you are weak in Urdu, they go and sit with the translation. There's a few brothers, there are three or four brothers, and there's a brother there. Somebody always does some translation, so you can understand what I'm saying. That so you can understand, because I try to speak in basic Urdu, so you can understand. Anyway, so this is the situation. Do you understand what I'm saying? That the nature, the form, the manner of that punishment is different. But the person, if you've just done a sin, then there's punishment. There's no need to sit like a mouse on sat in masjid in the dhikr. You're in adab. You'll be in punishment. So what is the adab of a person who sins, whatever the sin, in this world? It's a big consequence. He's not burning in fire. He's not drowning in water. Nor is a scorpion biting him. Nor is a serpent biting him or a snake. And so what adab is that person experiencing then in this world, if adab does start in this world, if punishment does start in this world after a person does a sin? We cannot see it. It's not visible. But a person who is being punished, but he can see it. But when we start to see the punishments, then Allah will show the adab at that time. Then we'll see with our eyes, or we'll feel it, that, oh, I'm being punished as well. But not all of the punishments are visible. So the adab, the consequence of sin in this world, when a person's punished in this world, is not visible. That what happens is the heart of the person, of the sinner, it reduces or diminishes totally the desire to do good. Yes, so the desire to do good totally goes from the heart, the person's heart. You hear this? Oh, I don't feel like reading Quran today. Oh, I don't feel like today to pray tahajjud. I just don't feel like today going to the majlis to do dhikr. So this feeling, emotion, Allah says is my adab on that person. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. It's a big adab, big adab, big punishment. I don't feel like a mu'min's heart in which there's kalima, noor and light and iman, he doesn't feel like doing something. So what we realize is this is adab. So why is the heart not feeling like doing something? Let's listen to this carefully. That why doesn't a person feel like doing something? Because the adab has descended into the heart. Allah says you sin, so the punishment came into your heart. And the desire is totally gone from your heart. You can try your best on that person, but his heart will not feel like doing a good deed, to implement a sunnah, or let me read Quran, or let me pray tahajjud. That when a person does a good deed, and he has a desire to do good. Until today we haven't understood this point. That when a person has a desire to do good, do we say, oh, why is this here? What's happened to me? Every man thinks that when you start the car, for example, what's happened today? Why is the car not starting? Why isn't it starting? Don't we say this? For example, you come and you put the light on, the switch, and the light doesn't come on. You say, what's happened today? Is there no power? The first words come out, what's happened? What's happened? So will the heart never say that it's time to do a good deed? There's an opportunity, an invitation to do a good deed, and I've got a good, great chance, a great opportunity to do a good deed. So why is my heart not feeling like doing it? Why don't I want to do this good deed? Why am I not being pushed to this deed? At that time, we should think like this, shouldn't we? Why is the light not coming on? Why is the car not starting? So same way, why am I not doing this sin? So straight away then think, oh, I've done a sin. Oh, I've lost out. I followed my nafs. I fell into the trap of the nafs. So what am I speaking about, my brothers? Which individual am I speaking about? Apart from the prophets, all human beings have this threat. And the ghawls, the kutubs, and the walis of Allah, everyone has this threat. But there are two people by whom it's stated that the anbiya, the prophets, they are masoon, innocent. And the awliya Allah, they are mahfooz, they are protected. So the awliya Allah, Allah Ta'ala says that when they get to the sin, and there is sin, and they have the inclination, then Allah Ta'ala protects the awliya Allah from that sin. Because they've done some mujahada, they made some struggle and effort. Allah says, okay, so he's getting a bit of a test and a challenge here. Somehow Allah Ta'ala says, I'll stop him from doing the sin. Allah protects. So this consequence, apart from the prophets of Allah alayhi wasalam, all of the people will experience this, that when this feeling inclination comes into thought, oh, today I won't do this, I don't feel like it. When this increases, then that heart, takes that person to a big punishment. He's sitting in a car, he's driving past the car. Where are people going? Oh, it's Salah time. Oh, it's prayer time. He doesn't know it's prayer time. Adhan is happening. He doesn't hear. He doesn't want to know. Somebody is reciting Quran. He doesn't hear the child is reciting Quran at home or not doing nothing. That person goes opposite to the adab. What's happening in his heart? That all evil and darkness, he feels enjoyment. Oh, today I really enjoyed that gathering. Oh, today it was really good. I really had a nice time. Have you heard this, isn't it? When a person does bad. And a person whose heart, alhamdulillah, is full of divine light and nur, and the person's pious, he's opposite to that. He says, oh, today I really enjoyed myself in Hazrat's majlis. Oh, today dhikr was great. Did you enjoy that? So this is the feeling, the emotion that tells us. So who are these inside? These individuals? That little bit of a good deed, and his heart will feel good. It will receive nicely that good deed. It will be a host. If a person's passing through and he hears the adhan, he will put the brakes on the car. Ooh, adhan. Adhan is being recited. He'll say, Alhamdulillah, he feels happy. Subhanallah, oh, I see the masjid. For example, I was looking for so long. Where will I pray Salah Asr? Subhanallah, so much happiness at that time. That human being is on a journey. And you will have experience of this sometime. If not experience it, you're going on a journey. And you're looking in your car, the time. Oh, it's Maghrib time. You're turning left, right. Where's the masjid? I thought there's a masjid there. Where will I pray? And the person has a worry in his mind. And suddenly he turns and he sees a masjid. And people are going to the masjid. And he's so extremely happy. There's no moment of happiness greater than that. Isn't it? Have you experienced this in your life ever? Oh, you haven't? Okay, it's good. So say, oh, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Wherever you can park at that time, you don't look at the line. Even if a ticket's applied to the screen, you're so happy. You're not thinking about that. And your mind, and in so much happiness you are that you'll park the car, even if it's not correctly parked. You're not too worried, and you'll park incorrectly. Oh, I just need to get into the masjid, Allah's house. And so much sakina and peace, and person's content. Rather, he prays every day. But that day he's gone to another place or another masjid. They'll breathe a nice, cool, deep breath, and he'll feel so happy and at peace in the masjid. And Allah Ta'ala has given him the opportunity, why? To do one good deed, and he earns that good deed. So what's this a sign of? Iman. And a person whose heart is in azab and punishment, Allah Ta'ala puts him into azab, then he'll get a dirty, impure majlis. And all night long he will wake up, stay awake all night long. And he will carry out those actions of sin. And you can ask him to do whatever you want. He will carry out all of the evil inclinations. He'll go with his eyes. He'll look all night long with his eyes. The eyes get tired. And he starts to squint. And there's pain in the eye. But he'll say, oh, I really enjoyed it. It was really good in the night what we did. I really felt good. Mouth is tired. The body's tired and broken and shaking. And sleep has not been fulfilled. And he'll say, oh, I really liked that. I really enjoyed it. And what is this? My brothers, this is called the definition that Allah Ta'ala has given. Azab, punishment. Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِنْ أَسَأْتُمْ فَلَهَا. When you do evil, it will be done to yourselves. So should we pass a life like this, my friends? So we have now a gauge, a measurement gauge for us. Now we've got this. You can judge every time the deeds that you are implementing. Every second, every moment you can judge, where are you? Where am I standing? This is a blessing and a rahmah. Or am I in the blessings and rahmah of Allah, mercy of Allah? Or am I surrounded by the azab of Allah, the punishment of Allah? When a person feels like leaving a good deed, then understand you are in azab, I am in azab. And why is azab come? Punishment, subhanAllah. What's the result, the response to that? Because of sin. Sin. Maybe I don't consider it a sin, but it is a sin, this action, and I've committed this sin, and in my heart there was a desire, and Allah Ta'ala has put the azab into my heart, and He has turned me towards Jahannam, that direction. That's where I'm heading due to my intentions and sins. And a person who is all the time in the adab of Allah, they don't even give a second to think about good. They'll say, oh, let me do this, I want to do this sin and that sin as well. I've done this before, let me do this again. They run after the sins time and time again. And this is the third direction of life. Yes? So he carries on both. He wants that, oh, you know this sin I'm doing, after a good deed, then I'll do a sin. And it will annul the good deed, the sin. If I do a good deed after that, Allahu Akbar. That these sins I'm implementing, the bad actions and evil, it's alright, I prayed salah. Oh, I just prayed salah, I just read some Quran. And that person is deceived by his so-called actions. That, oh, he thinks that, oh, it's okay, I can sin, but it's alright, my sins won't give me punishment because I've done all the good deeds. But adab has reached that person already. And would he get out of that trap? Would he come out of that conundrum? My friends, this is invisible. Remember what I said, the punishment? Sins result in punishment. I remember two events, I think I should share them amongst us. We've still got 5-10 minutes. Because when something good comes in the mind, should it be communicated? Yes? It's a good discussion, isn't it? So that this deception can come out of my head. This illness, oh, it's a small sin. Oh, it's not visible. Or Allah's not going to give us punishment. So when will that sin's punishment become visible? Because Allah Ta'ala says, are you going to come on the right path or not? Haji sir? Yes, the time's coming close, isn't it? We'll see everything soon that we are hiding our sins. Oh, we do the sin, it's alright, there's no adab, no punishment. Look, sit in the car, do what you want. Look, his car, he's got big cars, big houses. He's not got any punishment. He's happy. Okay, so let me tell you one event first, which shows the consequence of sin that definitely occurs. Hafiz Ibn Adar rahmatullah alayhi wrote this account, this event, and I heard this from the pious people. This is when the pious elders speak, they speak from the authentic reference. And he was a great sheikh, and teacher. It was not some minor individual. And he had a sister who passed away. And the Wali of Allah, his sister, passed away. Now, when she passed away, she had to be buried. And after burying her, he said that his money fell into the grave while she was being buried. His wallet or his container or his money fell into the grave. And he came home and said, "Oh, my money that's fallen out of my pocket. Okay, let's go back. The grave is fresh. It's probably just fallen at the top. Let me just take away a bit of the soil at the top and just dig a little bit and take my money out." So he went back to the grave. And after going back to the grave, he dug the grave a little bit just from the top. Moved the soil away and he said, "Allahu Akbar." He wrote that you cannot believe I was not in this world at that time. You cannot understand where did I reach to. He said, "My sister," it hadn't taken long, just a few hours ago, she was alive. And that grave, he said, was full of fire. And my sister was sitting in the fire and she was burning and she was screaming. And just a few hours ago, she was alive and she was with us. Remember, after maut in our subcontinent, we don't wait, oh, the body's gone here and then gone there, then you have to get a certificate, then the body's released, and it takes 2, 3, 4 days. In our Pakistan, India subcontinent, when a person passes away, the ghusl is given and the person's buried. That's it. Takes a few hours. So he went to the grave. He said that, "I lost all conscience. I ran to my mother. I was in shock. I said, 'Mama, she said, "What's happened to you?" He said, "Mother, I've seen a very bad thing." She said, "What?" He said, "You know, our sister, she just passed away. The sister just passed away. And she's in this condition in her grave." And he said, "Mother, I cannot understand. Why is this?" She was a muttaqiyah. She was fearful of Allah. You would see that she'd recite Quran. She would keep the fast. She did good actions. "Do you have any insight into this? Why this is happening? That should we recite something and ask Allah to forgive her? And what's happening?" And then the mother replied, she said, "My son, you are right in what you're saying. Whatever you saw was correct. But I also saw one thing." And she was a waliyah. She was a friend of Allah. And she was a good woman. And she did a good deed. But remember that Allah says, "Wa in asatum falaha." We don't even remember our sins or our bad actions. But I saw that whenever Allah Ta'ala gave the hukam, that pray salah on time. Or pray salah in jama'ah. Or for example, when adhan is heard, straight go to the congregation. Is this not the hukam? Or just make your own places to pray. Wherever you feel like, pray with one sitter. Or the business will go down, and the profit will go down, and sustenance will go down. Know that this is mustanad, authentic. You have to have a genuine excuse, which is confirmed from the muftiyan and the scholars. Unless there is that, then you have to go to pray salah and jama'ah. Anyway, so the mother said that, "My daughter, yes, she was good, she did good deeds, but she'd be busy. And she'd be busy in her good deeds, and she would delay her salah. Not every day, but sometimes, because mother kept her eye on her daughter, that Allah Ta'ala allowed her to understand this point. Allah Ta'ala shows this every day, that people are dying. Every day people are dying, aren't they? And I saw this in my life, an event such like this as well, with regards to interest. How a person from amongst those we know, from our halqa, from the people we know, the brothers in our circle. And I saw the event of that person who would consume interest in Manchester. So anyway, when the warning comes, admonishment comes, Allah Ta'ala shows something that a person is in this maqam, that this is the consequence of the sin. So Allah Ta'ala showed to the mother that this is the sin of your daughter. And we don't consider it sin. Oh, I prayed. They prayed, especially the women. They say, "I prayed," even though they delayed. I said, "Oh, men, oh, I didn't get the jama'ah congregation," says the man. "I didn't go to the masjid, but I can pray here. I can pray here if I want. I don't have to go to the masjid. Who can go? Why should we go? It takes too long. My customers have come. I stood in the shop. Why do I need to go to the masjid? The masjid is in front, opposite, and we can see from our windows. And we have big shops, business, but nobody comes to congregation. No, we just press the buttons of the till. Ting, ting, al-hatum, al-hat. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran clearly that I'm giving you the guidance. ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون. That the graves will come and you will come to know and you will come to know. And we are stood there. People are dying in front of us. They're going to their graves. They're being buried. And we can't see the adab. The adabs come, the punishment into the heart of the people, that from their hearts they don't have the desire to pray. They can't see that salah is happening here. Congregation is happening. People are going to pray salam. We have the till in our hearts. Ting. But we don't want to go to the masjid. The masjid is a few yards away, meters away. We are sat. We stop others. We're taking their adab. You don't need to go and pray. I won't go and pray. We can pray here. And we give an adhan in our business places and praying. Insan, human being, tell me, what are you doing? Think yourself. I have to decide this myself. I have to judge myself. Analyze and ponder and judge yourself. This is the topic. This topic. These are the messages of Ramadan that I'm communicating. From 30 days, I'm not giving any personal bayans or personal discussion. Where is this coming from? The fast is making me speak. The fast is speaking today. I'm not speaking. From 30 days, I'm not here. From 30 days, I'm not here. I'm in Jannah with the fadl of Allah, with the grace of Allah. Subhanallah. So this is the fast that is speaking to us. Ramadan, understand and understand these points. And inshallah, remember this bayan of mine. Keep this CD. And that always after Ramadan, listen every day to each bayan of Ramadan. Inshallah, our lives will come onto the right path. This is not a speech. This is not a lecture. No. Inshallah, you will get these free. A CD of each day's discussion. You'll go on the site, you'll buy it, you can get it free. You can order it free. No cost. Free of charge. Just order it and it'll be delivered to your home. 10, 15, 20. You can order and they'll be delivered to your door free of charge. Yeah, you know our website? Just go there and you'll see the title come up there and just order and get 10 and distribute them to people with the fadl of Allah. It's a very beneficial. I will also keep some and I'll also keep them in my car and play every day. Ulama, scholars, don't make a fuss. Oh, we know all the hadith. These words are coming from the fakir, from his tongue. And to listen from a fakir, from a person, and to listen and read yourself, there's a big difference. Listen to the words. Listen. Not that I know, I've got the knowledge already. So then, this was a sin of that woman that she would sometimes delay and get late in a salah. So let's judge what is the condition of our salah. How many congregation do we leave? Congregation, jama'ah, salah. And how much we're lazy. Is this dunya? And this is the initial punishment of the sin that is visible. When it started from the grave, and then when that person goes to the akhirah, permanent into hellfire, then tell me, how will that person be saved? And one other event I'll share with you. One other event. That this event, this is the event of a great alim, scholar. Hala, Hazrat Mursad bin Hawass, great sheikh. And this is personal event in his life. And this is the discussion that we're having, that this makes us understand the adab, the punishment we will be in. We'll say, oh, we can't see, I can't feel it. What does he write? He said that I was sat in my majlis and my friend was there with me. And another man came with him. And I'd never seen a man like this. As I said to you yesterday, those who were in this majlis, mashallah, those who were coming, they hear the words and the discussion. So now this event, the next one we discuss, he said that I saw this third party and I was a bit surprised and shocked when I saw the third party, a new person. Mursal bin Hawass. Rahimullah, he said that I was there, my friend was there, and I saw a third person that half his face was correct and fine and how it should be. His eye, and he had the flesh and everything, but the other half of his face was metal. It was like metal, totally like metal. There was no life form, you know, like tin, you know, like tin or other forms of metal. And he said it was the other half of his face was still, no life. Just like a metal. I thought, am I right in what I'm seeing? Or am I in an illusion? And then he said, I stumbled upon the question that I asked him. These are amal that we are being told in these events, and we will have to be saved from this. And today we have time to do astaghfar, my friends. So he said, Allah, let me ask him. Shall I ask him that, what is this? Why is he looking like this? Ajeeb things I'm seeing. Is there a person like this in the dunya? No, I've not heard until today this. He said that it seems that you are a man, you're a human being, mashallah. But why is half of your face not normal? I can't see that you've got an illness. Or for example, a person has cancer, etc. nowadays. But in the olden days, nobody knew, there was no concept of cancer. So why was half of his face not real? It was like metal. It was not normal flesh. He said, okay, I will explain to you. I was born correct. I wasn't born like this, he said. But then an illness came to our village, our town, the plague. When the plague came, it was a very severe plague. Many people die when there's a plague. So people were dying and people were being buried. And one of our close associates, colleagues, he also passed away in the plague. So our dear friend, we went to bury him, and I went and I dug the grave to bury him. And we were waiting that other people will come with his body, so we'll bury him. And he said there was a grave next to the grave that we had dug, and that was also prepared for somebody else to be buried. So I sat next to that grave as well, just waiting for the people to come. He said our man, my friend, hadn't still come, and that other person whose grave had been dug next to my friend's grave, that body came, and we buried that person, and everyone left. And I stayed there because I was waiting for my friend's body to come. He said, Hazrat, what did I see? That two birds, massive birds, like big as camels, white color, were descending from the sky. I thought, huh? What's this? He said, I'm sat in the graveyard next to the grave where I'm waiting for my friend to be buried. He said, the birds, they're descending, and they're as big as camels, and they descended onto that grave. One sat at the head side and the other at the foot side, on the two ends. And then the bird on the head side dug the grave and went into the grave. And he said, I saw what happened then. I was so close and I couldn't dare that I got up and ran away left and right, because I was overtaken by a bit of shock, and I could hear and see what was happening, and the world had changed in the grave. That person had just been buried. So he said at that time, the grave had been dug, we went inside, and the bird went inside, and he started to beat, both birds then went in, and they were beating him, slapping him. And then they said one word, that you thought you were so big and famous, and used to show off to people your wealth and your mal, and used to wear nice new clothes and show off to people to show yourself that I'm walking past and I'm rich and I'm wealthy, I've got these clothes. You used to show off, didn't you? And they say to him, and he's put his hands together, no, I'm miskeen, please, please forgive me. He's saying this, I know I did wrong, please, I wasn't like this really, I was poor, and I'm this. And they said, is this the case? And then they slap him again, slap. And such a slap, he said, that I was watching this, the fire, that the grave was then filled with, the grave filled with oil and water. Allah's hikmah, Allah's wisdom, Allah knows best what is the meaning of this. The oil and water filled that grave. And the body is inside the grave of that person. He said, a little while it stayed like this, then it became a grave again, then he was dead again, and this is the adab of thereafter. It goes round and round like an iteration. It's not that they're slapped and that's it, end of the punishment. No, there's no mote, there's no death in the grave. So what's the taste and enjoyment of sinning? Will we leave salah? Will we leave salah in congregation from today? Should we be lazy on this and negligent? Is there any deed there that is saving the person? Did that woman get saved by her good deeds? How many people of us from amongst us are like this, and we do such actions? That what do we consider ourselves to be? We think we're special for one good deed to obey Allah's order. How many excuses we make? So that grave became a grave again. Then they slapped him again, even though one was enough. Then he went into that bad situation. He said, no, please forgive me. Same words, I'm not in the dunya. Please send me back to the world. I'll practice good. I know I won't be bad. I'll always do good. I don't know why I did that sin. That person influenced me. Then they'll slap him again. Then the oil and the water came back to the grave. And this continued as a cycle. He said, while I was looking at this, then the birds, they looked at me. And one of them said to the other friend, why is he looking at us like this in depth? Allahu Akbar. What's this? You think this is a game he's looking at? He's watching us play a game? What's he looking at? I'll slap him as well. And he said at that time, the other one, his friend, his associate, he slapped me so hard. By chance, I had to save my face. And he said, where he slapped me, that face did not become part of this world anymore. And that became metan and al-adhab, punishment from Allah. And that was the consequence, the result. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajun. My brothers, there are many events. Many, if we start discussing them, we could be sat from morning till evening. And this is what we've learned from the pious elders. What else did I learn? Did I go to become a khalifa of my sheikh, to go and learn dhikr, that how will I go and teach people dhikr? No, there was no intention. We went to understand how to be good. And Hazrat gave hukum that go and tell the people this. I'm not an alim, nor have a desire to sit and have big gatherings. My sheikh gave me an order. Me? I said. And Hazrat said, yes, you. You go and share with the people. And lead Jummah. I said, Jummah, me? And Hazrat said, yes. And then I started leading Jummah. Because we were the servants. We would follow the orders. The ghulam does what the master does. That today, until today, no wrong khutbah. Everyone, whoever's heard, the khutbah has been said correctly. Because the permission was from behind. The hand was on the back. There's no fake. It was genuine. You know, we have those fake sheikhs. They have an honorary degree and they start making people fools. May Allah not allow. May not allow that I make people fools. No. That I take people off track. I'm a sinner. I'm not pious. I have deficiencies. Someone comes and says that you are this, you're a sinner. I'll say, yes, you're right. Rather, I'm worse than that. So why are you doing this? Because ask the person who put his hand on my back, who gave me the permission. that I don't worry about fame and status. What's this? He doesn't have knowledge, ilm, he hasn't got the background knowledge. How can he say this? He doesn't know how to recite hadith, Arabic. And then I laugh. You're right. Rather, I'm worse than this. I'm less well off than this. And you'll see people who are much better than me. And I'm not saying I'm an angel. I'm not giving a guarantee. I've never said I'm a wali Allah, sheikh, teacher, murshid. Oh, he thinks he's a teacher. I'll show you his CD, beyond cassettes. He says, I take people to Jannah. Paradise. Are these words to discuss, my friends? To have amongst us? But there, the gathering's there. There's no effect negative on a gathering. It's increasing. The work's increasing. Why? Because there's somebody's hand on my back from behind. There's the permission. And if the hand comes away, then the loss will come. So let's do dua that when somebody's hand, a pious person's hand comes on your back with the permission, do dua. May that hand and the effect and the permission stay. May that shafqat and love stay on our heads. And that person who thinks he's the best. And then my sheikh said one statement, there will come a time on you. There will come a time that the dunya will consider you a big sheikh. And you will have a gathering and there will be a lot of clamor. But remember one thing that I'm telling you. Never consider that you are a peer. Or you're a sheikh. Or that you are murshid and that you are successful. It's your sheikh, your murshid who's given you the results. So keep your connection with your sheikh strong. Just like you did from the first day when you were like a child. And there should be no difference in that. You shouldn't reduce. That don't forget these words of your sheikh. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. I'm an old man in this same game today. Same routine, there's no morning or evening that I don't look at the maktubat of my sheikh and look at the writing of my sheikh. That my sheikh, hukam, what did you say? What shall I do today? Thousands and thousands of bayans I've given from one letter of Hazrat. Thousands of points I've extracted from that one letter. My sheikh's words. And our sheikh, he's sheikh until qiyamah. How can I say I'm peer and sheikh? Doesn't matter what the people in the world say. But I am nothing at all. This is all the karam and the grace and the mercy of my sheikh would have attained. That, for example, for some people, they're like this when there are four or five people around them. They start speaking here, go there, this narration, this reference. Remember this clearly. A person who's given ijazah by a sheikh, when a sheikh gives khilafa and it makes a student of his deputy, he doesn't say, oh, you go now and you're free and you go and host dhikr and forget your sheikh. No, remember this. Because every khalifa has his own unique and different capacity and capability. When a person's given ijazah by a sheikh, he shouldn't just think, oh, I'm detached now, I'm free, I can do what I want. For example, some people are graduated from Darul Uloom or this institution, that. Then what happens is not every alim scholar has the capacity that he can give a speech. Not every scholar has the capability he can teach Bukhari. Not every alim has the capability that he can do whatever he wants. Everyone has their own unique separate capacity and capability. And then when he comes into the hand of the craftsman, and it shows him, ah yes, this is your capacity, this is the capability you have. And then he passes the test. He says, oh, I want to do this and that. But the sheikh knows that this is not his capability. That he's got good the khilafah. And this is the, you can say, the recognition that this person will get good reward in the hereafter. But this doesn't mean he'll do host dhikr or give speeches or bayans. Allah Ta'ala has given him a great, great reward. Allah says, I've accepted you. That you're now the khalifa of this sheikh. You've got status and rank. You should be grateful in your life that Allah has given you status. That you've become the servant of your teacher. And you become closer to your teacher now. But don't think, I'm a peer now, what my sheikh's doing. I can do, and I can do what I want. No. He should think, the sheikh knows that how I need to direct the student. Somebody, a master's in writing or commentary or explanation. I saw a great wali wala who I used to sit down and he was a friend. We used to have discussion. He was a khalifa of my sheikh. And a very high state, he did so much good work of the deen that there was nobody who could explain the Naqshbandi tariqa better than him. And he would sit on a straw mat and he had no fan. He had no electric fan. It was 120 degrees Fahrenheit. He sat in a room. He had so many hundreds and thousands of illnesses. And I said, Hazrat, how are you? He said, I'm totally fine, totally good. Hazrat, but you were a bit ill. No, no, I just went there. We had the operation. They just changed the wound dressing. Allah's karam, mercy. I'm sat here writing. And he had a broken down pen. And not a normal pen, the ink pens. You know those pens that you cut, like, for example, from the bamboo, like a stick, piece of wood, and he'd cut it down, chisel it down, and then he'd dip it in ink. And that's what he would be writing. And such kitabs he wrote from his hands, such noor and pearls of wisdom. Allah. And I said, Hazrat, have you written that book? He said, yes, I kept these two books for you. Take them and read them. He'd give me the kitab. Amazing. And he said, no. No cost. I don't sell. No, this hadiah I give for you. Subhanallah. So then he had dhikr. He had remembered. Subhanallah. See, many people, a person shouldn't be in this misconception. I'm a khalifa now and I can do dhikr and teach other people. No. For any action that give you benefit, positive in the hereafter, and this is the hikam of Allah, and this is my capability, I should carry on doing this job. But definitely we should be doing some work of the deen. Definitely. Anyway, this was something historical I thought I'd share with you. So anyway, brothers, now we are here in Ramadan. And we've got a bit of introduction of sin, isn't it? Just a light introduction. We know what is a sin. And Allah Ta'ala wants to make us understand from this moment. It's a big point. So Ramadan, the fast of Ramadan is telling us that this is it. This is the meaning of Ramadan. And this is the meaning of what I've taught you. And it brought to you, says Ramadan. And I've come to make you refreshed. And so you revisit you to the reality of life. Ramadan says, don't you know this is a principle? Look, Samita Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As Abu Darda radiallahu anhu states a hadith, that asyamu jannatun, that fast Ramadan. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about fasting Ramadan? That it will take that person. It's a way. It's such a way that a person, the enemy cannot attack that person. It's so strong and powerful, a shield. The more strong your shield is, yes, you can ward off the enemy. So Allah Ta'ala has given us a shield, and the fast says that I am a shield. That from what? That nobody can affect you. Nothing can give you a negative consequence. They can disturb your fast and won't allow you to reach to paradise due to fast. Jannah. Allah has given us fasting as a shield. Remember this. As long as if we've got a strong shield, if we throw the shield away, the barrier away, then we will give loss to ourselves. Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, as long as you use that shield correctly, you will be protected. But if you break that shield, throw it away or discard it, then you will be in loss. So you will spoil it. But the fast says, I'm a great and powerful assistant. That if I come to somebody, if you keep the fast in the morning, then I will make you forgiven in the evening before the day of fast goes, that fast day goes. Subhanallah. So iftar, there's hadith, isn't it? That at the time of iftar, there's happiness and dua is accepted. Why? Because that person's been forgiven at that time. That's why there's nur and rahmah at that time. And he's eating the dates because the person's been forgiven. That's why there's a great status at the time of iftar. And a person should hasten. That's why he's stating, hasten. Be quick. You're forgiven. Don't delay. Always is said, isn't it? Hurry up and do iftari. Break the fast quickly. Don't wait. Then food will come. Other dishes will come. No. Even if you get just a date, then break the fast with that date. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us. And there's a hikmah in this. If we start speaking about them, if there's another gathering, inshallah, we'll speak on this. So he stated that look, from morning until evening, Allah says you're forgiven everything you've done. But if you wanted to break this shield or lose it, then nothing in the world could attack you. Nothing could break your fast. Nothing could spoil it. But what could spoil it is if you sin. As soon as you commit a sin, then your shield becomes a waste or it becomes futile. Not useful, and then you are breaking or you are making your fast go to waste. This is the message Ramadan says, that if a sin destroys the shield against the sin, then imagine if you do good deeds all life long, big so-called amal, whatever you want. Allah Ta'ala says that if when you reach to Allah and you commit the sin, then definitely the person will go to hellfire. And this is the message we are receiving today. It's better that just like we are saving our fast, that I want to be forgiven in the evening, then I shouldn't do any sin. I should try my best not to sin. And this is how it should be. That the azim thing here is that we shouldn't sin. Even if I don't recite a juz of the Quran, even if I don't do dhikr, even if I don't do any good actions, but I shouldn't commit any sins in my life. This is the most important thing. Even if I keep an empty fast and I just close the doors and I don't look left and right, my eyes, my mouth, my lips, tongue, I don't do any ibadah, I just fulfill the faraid, compulsory deeds the way I should, inshallah, despite that, that person in the evening will be forgiven. Why? Because he understood and practiced the meaning of Ramadan, and he didn't do what action? Which is the worst of action, committing a sin. So that's what Ramadan tells us. You can implement less good deeds. Don't pray tahajjud if you can't. Don't pray ishraq or chashid. Or you don't have to be a hafid or an alim. You don't have to do anything if you can't. But if in your life you pass the time in such a way and totally it can, we have this control. That if not for one day, if for one day you don't eat or drink and you leave the sins in Ramadan, if you kept all the fast of Ramadan with this niyyah, that don't want to sin, Allah Ta'ala says, that if you can pass one whole Ramadan like this, then inshallah when you come to me, then your life will be the same, that there will be no sin left in your deeds, record of your deeds. And it's not difficult, it's not hard. Remember this, to leave sins is not difficult at that time. When we are aware and recognize that these two events, and a person who realizes today that this will happen to me in my grave, these sins will become apparent. How can he consume haram? How can he leave jama'ah, congregation? How can he destroy other people's salah, spoil their lives? And he can sit and see that, oh my salah, oh don't go to the prayer, you don't need to go to pray. How can a person, he's sitting in the shop or in his business place and customers are there and they're happy, he's selling stock and counting money. Oh, we'll pray afterwards, I'll go and pray my salah afterwards. These are the same excuses, aren't they? That if you ask that person, no, I pray afterwards, I don't go to the masjid, I'll go quickly, I'll go and do wudu. We've got a place upstairs, we've got a musalla, we've got a prayer room. Look at the prayer room. Look at the ease that a person tries to bring to life. The ease. So business, due to business we leave Jama'ah. Congregation, these are principles and fatwas, our own self-made fatwas, my friends. No. One salah. If a person's leaving Jama'ah congregation, he cannot be a Sufi, he cannot be a Wali of Allah. The stain of the sin is on that person's name. So either that stain, we wash it with true tawbah, true repentance, subhanAllah. The stain can be washed. That Allah, today I've delayed my salah. Today I've left salah, I didn't pray, but I do true honest tawbah, inshallah, I will not leave it from today. Then that stain, it disappears. Then if that person commits the sin again, they do tawbah again, repent again, come back to Allah again, stand up. Honest tawbah, if a person's done it, sincerely, and then again he goes towards that sin, then he can do tawbah again. Then the person's got success. Otherwise the sin will take us to Jahannam. Let's do dua to Allah that Allah Ta'ala saves us from the la'na, wretchedness of sin. Just like we've been protected in Ramadan, Allah's kept protected us and given us His fadl and grace and saved us from sins. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to also prepare in the for the journey and go towards the akhirah in a positive way. So this is the message of Ramadan, that even if you've got few good deeds to your name, but the biggest target for every human being is that we need to live our lives without the sins. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.